You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the lower deck there. The crew faithful, ever so loud. Yeah, buddy!
All right. Episode 101, Massive Report. We're live at Hendox in Awesome Town, drinking on a Monday night. Make sure you come out and join us. $2 for like 90% of the things they offer at the bar on Mondays, which is pretty darn awesome. Yeah. Big crew win. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Mark McCullers situation going on there. We're going to talk about that. Seattle game. A lot of stuff as far as that goes. But the biggest thing we want to kind of focus on is as we bring the panel in, Chris Lamacchia, Justin Bell, Sam Fahmy, turning the gears, and Frankie Hayduk. Thank you so much for joining us.
What's up?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Man, doing good, man. Hey, 2-0 start. First time in club history, right? I mean,
yeah, giant win for the crew. And honestly, it was one of those things. I was super, super confident. I want to get your take on that, first of all. Super confident first half. Anor with two just incredible goals. Especially the second one, just a great strike. But going into the second half, still played a good game, a little more defensive-minded. Got a little thready there for a little bit. Got a little concerning. What are your thoughts, first of all, on Berhalter and everything that he's got going on? And what are your thoughts on just this big 2-0 start?
Well, first off, I want to number one just thank all the fans, like all you guys, all the Nordic. Did you guys? Freaking brought the energy. You brought the heat. I'd asked you to get there early, asked everyone to really bring it. And you know what? That stadium was, at least the Nordic, was fully, 75% full by the time the game was on. And 10 minutes later, it was full.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys, I mean, thank you from the bottom of my black and gold heart. I mean, honestly, because I know it wasn't easy. I had asked everyone, hey, let's get together and get in there early. And you know what? We had about 150, 200 people in there early. Mm-hmm. We got half off beers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was rocking. And it was rocking for all the new players when they came out of that tunnel. And by the time the game started, you guys were already well into it. And, mm-hmm. A couple bevies and a couple songs deep, and you know that's all that we can ask. You know, we asked it's a new era, new age, new era, all this stuff that we're saying. But you know what? It's the same Nordic, and you guys brought the energy, and you brought it more than I felt ever since the 08 days. And I'll be honest with you guys, by the end of the game, when you guys were singing "Wise Man," I mean, it felt like a European match, and I can honestly tell you that it was. And then I was up there in the box actually with Precourt the last maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the game, and he was just, I mean, you could just see, we all had goosebumps. We're like, look at that over there. So awesome. I wanted to come on the show.
Good.
First of all, just to thank you guys and thank everyone who came out early and got out there and really brought the energy and brought the heat. And you could tell that it helped the players. I mean, and all, especially for all the new players that had never really experienced the Nordic before, and all you guys, they were overly and thoroughly impressed. And I can tell you that because I've talked to all of them after the game. Good. I talked to all of them today, actually, and they were like, is it like that every game? And I went, you know what? I'm hoping so.
It's
because
good to be.
Yeah. Because they go, man, we really fed off that energy. And, you can always say that, but you guys really did. And I really appreciate it, seriously, because, it's not easy getting everyone to leave a tailgate and to leave early and, and drink a more expensive beer than outside. But you guys did, and you did it for the players. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is bringing that energy and really, truly, being that 12th man, and believe me, you guys were that. So it almost gave me the goosebumps. I actually got the itch back to be out in the field again. I was like, damn, dude, maybe I went out a little bit too early.
Well, talk to Precourt. Maybe you need another contract.
My day's coming to come away. It's time for these guys. These guys are in. They're doing fine without me, believe me. I mean, back to the game. Sorry.
No, I appreciate it. That was an important thing to say.
And I have to ask you one question. Can we get you a bigger, louder megaphone for the tailgates?
Yes.
For next time?
Yeah, well, we didn't know how it was going to be. To be honest, that was the first time.
It was a trial run. We know we need a little bit louder megaphone for you.
Yep.
We know we need a little bit more organization as far as shutting tailgates down and going in. We know we need a little bit better communication with the beer vendors and all that. There were a few issues with that, but everything, all the kinks are going to get worked out by the next home game.
Totally,
and we're
going to
be fine.
And we're going to go in maybe a little bit later. I mean, from 5 to 5:30,
we were in there pretty damn early.
I thought the guys were going to be come out for warm ups a little bit earlier, but we should have recognized that. But I'd rather be early than late.
It's an experiment. And you feed off that and you go from there.
And to be honest. It worked. We won, and did we win convincingly? That first 65 minutes, dude, was some pretty freaking good soccer.
Winning and winning convincingly doesn't get you anything more in the standings.
You don't get four points
for winning convincingly.
You're right, and you asked me about the game and how it went. Yeah. I mean, that first half, to be honest, guys, I mean, it was the Crucelona that we were talking about.
Exactly.
We had hashtagged, and I thought there were some magical moments in there. We were dominating the game. I mean, to be honest, Philly didn't really look like they had a chance. Now, come to the second half, I mean, let's talk about the first half as well. The goal that was drawn up by Coach Berhalter and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He gave all the staff some major props on that because they recognized something with Philadelphia, which was, you know, they like to man mark. And they man marked everyone. And, you know, so they had five guys running the near post. And, you know, there was a guy open at the back post. So,
exactly.
I mean, and they noticed that. So credit to them and credit to all the work that this crew coaching staff is doing because – I mean, it's an all-star coaching staff, you guys. It really is. I mean, look at all those guys. You look at the history of the players themselves and what they've done, and even the new Dutch coach, assistant coach Rob Moskant. I mean, this guy he's been a head coach for however many years over in Holland, and to have him with our staff is more than an honor. I mean, he brought a couple Russian teams to the to Europa Liga. So this guy has been a head coach his whole life, and he, you know, Berhalter brought him over and said, "Hey, man, can you do this?" He said, "You know what? I don't know, but I'll go try."
Yeah.
And the guy is a really, really cool dude. Fun, full of energy. You guys need him on the show. I'm going to convince him to get on the show.
That'd be great to have him.
So I will one time. But, I mean, it just thoroughly impressed with what they've noticed about other teams and how they really go about their business. And they do it in the right way.
To not besmirch any of the previous coaching regimes at all, especially because we're so new into this. But it really looks like we're playing very intelligent soccer. And it really looks like we're looking at very specific points of the opposition, and we're really feeding off of that, and that's how we're creating our opportunities. Do you agree?
Definitely. I mean, you heard Berhalter. You know, he had some quotes in the paper. What he said. He said, you know, you're going to play, and if you play like that, it's called, you know, it's a beautiful game. If you play like that and you want to play that style, there is going to be mistakes. The other spectrum of that is not playing at all.
Right.
And just kicking the ball.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to do that. So the coaching staff knows that. They know there's going to be some growing pains, and there's going to be some issues when we try to play this beautiful game that they're playing, this Crucelona type of soccer. There are going to be mistakes. We haven't really seen too many of them yet, but they know that there might be eventually coming. But like he said, the other way, what's the opposite answer is, let's just lump it in and go.
Right.
And I don't want to play that.
Everybody would like to see us win, you know, the entire season. That's not a realistic goal, you know. But at the same time, you look at this, and one of the things that I've noticed is, especially looking from last year to this year, is that the offense isn't 100% fed through Higuain. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't give the opposition one player to key to. And I think that frees up Higuain so much more to do what he does, which is to be the talent that he is and to get that distribution.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Anor playing the way he is and coming through, and Hector bringing that speed down the wing. I mean, teams really got to respect other aspects of the game other than only Higuain, which is a great thing. And I think he's actually getting the ball more. He's getting in better spots, and the teams are having to go, whoa, man, we got to respect these other guys, not just one. So
you look at Josh Williams showing shades of Frankie Hayduk over here. I mean, coming up and contributing to the offense as well.
I mean,
you know?
He's flying. Waylon's coming up when no one's getting by that guy. You know, this guy is a handful, man. And everyone's going to make some mistakes here and there, but they're trying to play.
Yeah.
And we're trying to play soccer. And that's I think, a beautiful thing.
And then we got Steve Clark playing absolutely lights out between
man,
the pipes.
God. Man, what?
Am I correct in saying that he hasn't given up a goal since he joined the team?
Other than the Philly.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the first goal. That's the first goal that he gave
also
up.
You still think Jason Christ is the coach of Real Salt Christ. Lake.
Yeah. But,
one in the preseason.
No, that was an own goal.
Oh, well, yeah.
So what I'm saying is that before the goal on Saturday, he hadn't given up a goal since he put on a crew jersey.
Yep.
And that's a pretty...
Well, that's good.
Because all the teams that we played and all the games. Yeah.
And I mean, well, I'm brain farting here. Where did he play before here? He played in
He was in Norway.
Norway. So, I mean, there's no – he was Norwegian Goalkeeper of the Year a couple of years ago. So this guy's talents, there's no reason – you know, Berhalter knows this guy. He knew of him. And he went out and tried to really get this guy. And I think we got ourselves a very, very good keeper. And it was a great battle in the preseason between him and Lampson. And,
well, I bet.
You know. And now we're seeing that it's actually made him better keeper as well, because the saves he's making, those two saves,
oh my God.
Very, very 08-ish, guys. I'm telling you, like Will Husmer, he only had to make one or two a game. We would always joke with him, you only had to make one save this game, you know. But that one save that he had to make that was a gnarly save, he made it. And you saw Steve do the same thing this Saturday. And the win itself and those last 20, 30 minutes were – Philly started coming in waves and throwing everything at us, which when you're up 2-0, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to go, you know what? We have nothing to lose now. Let's just start throwing people forward and hopefully get a goal. And you know what? They kind of did that, and it's that 20-minute phase. You're never going to dominate a game for 90 minutes. The other team at some point during a game, 20 minutes long, is going to start dominating you. And whether the big thing is whether during those 20 minutes you take a goal or not. And they, you know, this one, they took a goal during that 20 minutes phase where they dominated, and then, whoa, it was game on again. But the guys, I mean, they came together. They battled back. And this was, you heard Parker say it, you heard all the guys say it, this was almost a better victory than the 3-0 victory in D.C. just because it really, you know, we had to be that grit and fight and that we're always talking about, dude. Yeah. Take it down to Columbus Crew City where the grass is green and the fans are gritty.
Have you been training Will Trapp on how to pump up the Nordic?
Yeah.
Because after the game, he came over and he was just like, it was like Frankie Hiddick with short hair and underage, not drinking beer.
Hey, guys, and I can tell you there's more of that to come. I mean, I thought we were a little bit unorganized after the win. Like, before we had the little, where everyone came. So there'll be something like that, and they all get together. But I think they were just, I mean, it was such a battle, and they were so just happy with the win that they were just, you know, they forgot a little bit. But they'll be over there, believe me.
Yeah, I think Steve Clark's going to kind of take that mantle.
Yeah. And he is. He is. How cool was that? Yeah, you see that?
It's the second
that
game very, in a row he's done that.
That was very WWF, right?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I did talk to Steve after the game, and he said that he's going to try to do that every game. So
good.
Nice.
He's looking for it.
Yeah, and he will. Believe me, we're going to get all the guys to come out there. So then, like I said, it was no secret before the game. You know, they switched the warm up to be in front of the Nordic because they saw all you guys rocking. They saw they always do their warm up on the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. And when they came in and when they saw everyone chanting, dancing, waving the flags, Rob Moscon, the assistant coach, went, "We're switching it over there. Let's go over there, guys."
Nice.
So they really did that for you guys. So I think there'll be plenty more of that to come. You know, so let's keep on bringing the energy.
Can we
there.
Make Toronto warm up on the small field outside? is that? Can we do that next 2 weeks?
No, let's do that. Let's make Toronto warm up at soccer first.
And make them run.
Hey, Duncan, you know where that is, right? Get in the bus.
Yeah. But hey, game on against them. It's going to be that game. It's going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. But we got a battle beforehand on the next game coming up.
Oh, I agree. I want to get. Does anybody have any questions?
Well, yeah. I was going to say, the one player that we haven't mentioned, too, who I think has really been surprising is Tony Chani.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah.
I think the change between him last season and this season is you can see it in almost every touch that he gets.
Yeah.
He makes these touches and these passes with an idea in mind that I didn't think that was there last year.
Yeah, and I really think that comes all down to their preseason and the way that they trained the guys on mm-hmm. the way that they wanted to play. I mean, it was a work in progress, and I was down there for a lot of that time, and I could tell you in the beginning it wasn't really like that. You know, it wasn't clicking in the beginning, but they kept on going, they kept on doing it, the coaches weren't afraid that it wasn't working, and then all of a sudden by the time they played their first game. You could see little glimpses, little flashes of, whoa, this is different. Something special is happening here. Mm-hmm. The movements, the guys checking, the guys going. I mean, it was happening. And then there's no reason, and there's the preseason speaks for itself and yeah. how they went. They went undefeated in preseason, you know, right. and they were smoking teams to a bit, and they were out possessing teams 70% of the time, you know, yeah. of the game. They had seven. Yeah. So I was, you know, it was a really cool thing to see, and I don't think we've seen that in a while with crew soccer, you know. So you know, even back in the 08 days, man, we weren't the greatest possessing team, you know. We got fouled a lot, and Guillermo, we had a guy who was put in a good free kick. We had a guy in Moreno that liked the whole ball, got fouls for us. We counterattacked mm-hmm. through Robbie and Eddie Gavin. So we were more of a counterattacking team, and it worked. And now this is, you know, I don't think we've seen this I don't think forever from a crew soccer team, and the way that they're possessing the game and the way that they're really kind of dominating some of these games.
I agree.
So much. I agree with that. There's so much energy from like the 2008 that just reminds me of the last two games, the away yeah. game and yeah. this game. And it's hard to describe from a fan's perspective. I don't know. Like, obviously, you would know better than anybody, like how the players react to what's going on in the field yeah. and or on the in the stands. It's like a kind of like a symbiotic thing going on there.
Yeah, well, they're buying into the system. They're buying into the system, and they're loving it. And I can only say that quotes of what the players are saying, the coaches are saying, without getting too much away, yeah. you know. But yeah. you know, you heard Josh Williams. You know, he had a quote in the paper the other day. He said, you know, I've never seen as much attention to detail from the coaching staff in my life.
Yeah.
So that it's no coincidence, guys. This is yeah. these guys are taking this personal, and they're taking it to heart. And these guys want a championship, not only the players, but this all-star coaching staff as well.
The new boss is not the same as the old boss, you know, and that's huge. I think
everyone has their own style, you know. Right. I don't think in soccer and coaching and everyone has their own way that they want to play. I don't think there's one right way or wrong way. But right now, this is the right way.
Right. I agree.
Some ways work, some ways don't.
Is this what you expected when you suggested maybe Mr. Precourt talk to Greg Berhalter? Is this what you expect? Like,
well, it wasn't. No, I mean, Mr. Precourt knew about Greg before. He had actually had come to us and said, "Hey, what do you think about this guy?" And then that's when I said, "Well," when I found out through Precourt that he was going to be, you know, a candidate, and I went, "Whoa, I know this guy really good. I can tell you everything about him, actually, and the way his brain works and the way his mind thinks." I've been his roommate for 15 years, so with the national team. So,
right.
yeah, you know, I knew it, and you heard Mr. Precourt said the same thing. He's like, right when he got out of that meeting, he went, "Whoa." And, you know,
we can call him Aces on this show, yeah, by yeah. the way. Yes. Just so you know, you don't have to call him Tony Aces.
I'm a well-behaved boy.
Yeah, definitely.
Tony Aces. Just so you know, until he comes on the show, and then I'll call him Mr. Precourt for the
Tony
first.
Aces to a face.
Oh no, I did too. I did too. No, he thought it was funny.
Yeah, he liked
later.
He laughed
later, when we're talking about Seattle, I'll explain where that nickname came from.
Okay.
Because I remembered where that first was said. In the context, and it's going to be real funny.
It'll be great. Hopefully. All right, is that the signal we have to wrap up
the
segment?
That's the signal.
Oh man! All right,
hey guys, again, man, seriously, thank you for bringing the energy. I want to thank the fans, like literally from the bottom, like again, of my black and gold heart, dude. You guys were above and beyond awesome.
Thank you.
Just straight up awesomeness. Let's keep on that black and gold love going, dude. Let's get in there early, and let's keep this thing pumped up, because this could be a traditional thing, and right now we're traditionally winning. So it's awesome.
I'm a fan of that. Frankie Hadick, everybody, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Get Frankie Hadick,
guys.
Come on.
Thank you.
Everybody is in here. We'll be back in a few minutes. Next segment of the Massive Report on the way.
The words are coming out, oh, and where are you now?
right. Gambino is a mastermind, mastermind, pastime, mass appeal, orange rind. Smoke your green, I'm spending mine. The beat is witch's brew, but beware, this is potent. Now her face, now there's poetry in motion. Yeah, Gambino, make it work. I'm the boss, move something. Yeah, this cool really suits me. Swag too, button. Yeah, these girls be acting crazy when they're dancing Black Swan. I'm at the club, put your clothes back on. Yeah, this beat is a disaster. 9/11, this track. Rappers wanna battle me.
I was live there for a couple of seconds. Let's do this. It's segment two of the Massive Report. I'm sorry. I love the dog walker. I love some Childish Gambino. It's just my thing. This is my thing. He was on Community.
He was.
Which one?
For a long time. For a very long time.
Which guy?
Troy and Abed. Troy? In the morning.
Yeah, it's Troy. From Troy and Abed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now he's a rapper. I don't know if you knew that or not. Real quick, before we get in, because obviously giant news today breaking about Mark McCullers, but I want to go on this, and this is a headline that literally just came out a few minutes ago in the Columbus Dispatch. I already have it, yes. Ohio State football, Meyer regrets misspeaking about Columbus's major league teams. And I'm going to read this verbatim.
Do your John Corby.
Okay. I'm going to read this verbatim. I'm going to be the old man reading the newspaper, a.k.a. John Corby. I don't know what his name is. I don't care. Urban Meyer said he is a fan of the Columbus Blue Jackets of the NHL and the Columbus crew of Major League Soccer. And in a text message to the Dispatch today, said that he wanted to make it clear that he misspoke in an interview with Atlanta newspaper last week, in which he was quoted as saying Columbus had no Major League sports. Quote, I have great respect for both the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Columbus Crew organizations, Meyer wrote today. The intent of my comment about football recruiting was that Columbus doesn't have professional football. I should have made that point clear, and I do apologize for the misunderstanding. I am pulling for the Columbus Blue Jackets in their playoff drive, and I wish the best for the crew under its new leadership. Meyer has often made the comment that Columbus is one of the larger metropolitan areas in the country that does not have an NFL team while talking about some of the features that set the OSU football program apart in terms of media attention and appeal, especially when addressing recruits. So I want to get into that second. Go ahead.
Who's Urban Meyer?
He's a rapper. He opened for Childish Gambino in his last tour.
Yeah.
No, I know. I want to get into this for just like maybe 2 minutes. Nate, you look like you have something to say.
I don't know. Sounds like a bunch of horse hockey.
We have a professional horse hockey team.
We do have a professional horse hockey team.
Quarter horse hockey?
Another jilted team.
Yeah. Is it quarter horse hockey? Because then Yvonne should come on and talk about that.
Is that where they cut the horses into quarters?
Yes. That is what a quarter horse is. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I think I said it earlier on someone's Facebook page. Like, so you're telling me that the multimillionaire publicly employed college football coach who has a mansion in Muirfield and a off-season television show, fishing show in the Bahamas.
What?
Is out of touch?
Weird.
No effing way.
That's super weird.
I had no idea.
Urban Meyer has a fishing show?
Yeah, he and his son have an off-season Bahama fishing show.
Wait, is it
Outdoor Life Channel.
Is it noodling?
No.
If it was noodling, that would be amazing.
That's where you stick your hand in the water and you're trying to get the fish to bite you.
Yeah, that's where you try to get the fish to bite you.
Reverse fishing, sort of. Okay.
I think that would be amazing.
What it says to me, though, is really, people, if you wanted evidence at all that the Ohio State football program has nothing to do with Columbus, Ohio, there you go.
Yeah.
It's what we've been saying for years. Some of us have been saying for years. It means it has no relevance to this city. It is a state of Ohio professional football team. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And if you want to support Columbus, forget about the Ohio State. I'm a graduate of Ohio State. I love Ohio State. But if you want to support Columbus, don't support the football team. Support the Columbus Crew and the Blue Jackets and the Clippers and whatever else.
Yeah.
Especially the Crew, because that's,
What
we're talking about.
You can support the Clippers. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You can ring the bell.
I'm not so sure that the Clippers are. I know they're professional. But
they do get paid.
They get lumped in with the Crew and the Blue Jackets.
Well, no, that's a load of crap. No, no, but they are a professional.
They're a professional team.
Don't forget
about
the
Clippers. Okay, well.
Yeah, they are a professional team in the city. That's not an accurate
statement.
Well,
and also,
they're not a major league team in the city.
His quote was major league team.
Yeah, it was major league.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And here's my question. When was the last time the Ohio State Buckeyes won a championship of any actual merit?
They win every year. They win all
the time. No. The Big Ten championship does not count. That's winning your division.
Not the football team.
There is no college football championship of any merit.
No, that's fair.
Let's make that very clear.
That's fair.
Also true.
Yeah, Sam's telling us.
That was the end of your 2 minutes.
And we go.
That was the end of my 2 minutes. All right. Soccer. So Urban Meyer, suck one. And we'll go from there. To quote Chad Marshall, suck one.
Hashtag
suck one. Let's go back into this real quick. And Mark McCullers. Big news today. Mark McCullers not having his contract renewed.
You fired.
Well, I wanna he's not really fired.
He turned in his resignation.
He's asked to resign. Potentially. We don't know that. We don't know the specifics behind anything. All we know is that at the end of the day, his contract was not going to be renewed, and he decided that he was going to leave the team. So I kind of want to... I know, weird, huh?
Oh, this happened.
Yeah, this happened. It's a real thing. We had a conversation about this earlier today, Justin.
We did,
on the telephone.
Yeah.
You can't see your telephone, Justin. So I kind of want to go around the table here real quick and just get everybody's reaction to it. First of all, so Chris, we're gonna start with you.
Okay, I'll go first.
Because you haven't talked yet.
Let me put down the tweet webs. No, I mean, I think this is a great move for the club. Obviously, I feel for Mark. It always sucks to lose a job or be asked to resign or whatever. And you know, all the best to him in the future. But I think this is the exact right thing for the Columbus Crew right now in 2014. Anthony Precourt decided that when he bought the team, he said that he was going to reevaluate everything, top to bottom, and. You know, this is only fitting. Mark was the last holdover from the previous regime.
There are a few concession guys left.
There are a few security guys left. I think that Crew Cat is still the same as he was before.
Yeah. But at least it's the same costume.
I think it's the exact right move. Maybe later, once we're done reminiscing about how great a person Mark is, we can talk about his shortcomings as a businessman in charge of the Columbus Crew. But, you know, I think it's the right move, and all the best to Mark in the future.
Yeah, no, in fairness, I think we could talk about both of those things, because I don't think...
let anybody else give their thoughts.
Yeah, no, I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody here has anything...
Any ill will.
Anything personal to say about Mark. That's definitely not the case, but...
I'm looking around. I think that, tonight you're right about that. They're
different. I don't think anybody's going to go to his house and, you know... Yeah,
that would be a really good going away present.
It would be horrible.
It would be.
It would be a really bad thing to do. Justin, your thoughts on Mark McCullers?
I agree with what Chris said. I think that something about him in that position that's sort of stuck out to me since the Crew won the championship in 2008 was that he seemed like the wrong person. Like the right person to work for the Crew, but the wrong job.
Yeah.
Like, I think he... And think about it. For the last 4 or 5 years, he's been the president and general manager of the team. Now, we never really understood quite who was in charge of who. You know, Brian Bliss was in charge of player acquisition, it seemed. And then sometimes you'd hear things that, you know, maybe McCullers had more power in that realm than we thought. And maybe Warzia had more power in that realm than we thought. But nevertheless, I mean, it seemed to me like... He seemed to be more of a Hunt Sports Group MLS person than a Columbus person.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that became apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Precourt came in here, it's like I mentioned to Frankie earlier, like Precourt came in here and he seemed to have this sense of he wants to learn as much about the city and the club as he does about being an owner of a sports team.
Yeah.
And he's not here to dictate terms. He's here to sort of learn and then make things better.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that quite meshes with what Mark McCullers is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think he's going to find a good job.
Somewhere. I think he will as well. Nate?
Yeah, so from listening to the press conference today, McCullers' contract was up in November, and Precourt wanted to make sure that he had enough time to make the decision on the leader for next year. And I think a few months, 4 or 5 months would have been enough time for that.
Yeah.
But I do believe that the Time Warner deal had an influence, and the blowback on this had an influence. I don't have any other kind of information other than the interviews that they've both given, but in the interview that Dwight Burgess did with Anthony that we all saw last week on Wednesday, you got the impression, Precourt said that he isn't involved in every single business deal.
Yeah.
And in today's call, when asked multiple times about the Time Warner deal, he changed the focus a little bit, but he did eventually say that he will be getting more involved in the Time Warner deal.
Good.
And that he will be working to find, some new solutions, mm-hmm. and that there will be more on that in a future date.
Excellent.
So I take from that...
I was just going to read the actual quote from Precourt on that. And this comes from Adam Jardy, the Dispatch. Mm-hmm. As for the crew's pursuits of making games more accessible, a la the Time Warner deal, Precourt said, quote, "That is something I'm getting more involved in. Yes, everyone at the crew is aware of the reaction to the deal. We'll have more to come on that at that subject at a later date."
Yeah. Yeah. So to me, that means he was not a critical part of the decision-making process with the Time Warner deal. And when he found out what the details were, if he found out what the details were, if details were even something that the crew pursued in the first place, because my impression is maybe not. Maybe they didn't find out how many customers they were going to lose, or how many crew fans, I'm sorry, don't have Time Warner, and what kind of a risk this would be.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin's sister. Hi, Jenny Bell.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Oh, jeez. Somebody.
I think they found it. I think that may have been a role. So that's my guess.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, piggybacking off that, that's really interesting that he didn't, that this wasn't McCullough's deal, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, piecing all those things together, that's what you get. That's the sense that you get. And, during the Border Summit, the thing that stuck out to me right from the bat was their humility and their willingness to acknowledge that they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Like Mark McCullough's first words were, "I screwed up. I made a mistake." And that was something that I don't think any of us expected, to be quite honest.
I agree.
And then Anthony Precourt's first words were, I feel like he mentioned something like, "I felt like I failed you guys, you supporters, a little bit." That was just an amazing thing that happened. And then we turn around 2 days later, and the discussion is, well, it's not really a blackout.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And technically, I suppose it's not really a technical, blackout
of everything,
but it really is. And I think that the more the reaction to that was almost as strident as the reaction to the announcement. So it just totally ripped the scab. Someone said it's like he ripped the scab right off the wound. And I think maybe Precourt was like, okay, this is now the time to do
it. Now instead of in August. July, or whatever.
The one thing that I want to bring up on this, and first of all, I want to thank Mark for the fact that he did come on the show a couple of weeks ago. The relationship that I've personally had with Mark throughout the years has been professionally yet tenuous, I guess, for lack of a better term. I've never thought anything in the highest regard of, but in the highest regard of him personally. The one thing that I will say about the Time Warner deal, just to kind of get into that for a bit here, and I think that this is a great point that one of the peanut gallery, Mr. Jeff, brought up here. Thanks, Jeff. But it's a good point, is that the crew are not, and we're not negotiating from a position of strength in this. And we don't know what Fox Sports Ohio was offering.
Correct.
It was probably pretty poor.
And
it had to have been.
Bag of soccer balls.
And that's where, I guess at the end of the day, am I a fan of what's going on with the Time Warner deal right now? No, I'm not. At the same time, do we have the information to sit here and... I don't think anybody's lambasting McCullers for that, but at the same time, I do believe there are elements of the fan base that are, and elements of the fan base that are lambasting the crew for this. Do we know what was on the table from Fox Sports Ohio? It could have been, we'll totally carry your games half the time. You know, and then at that point is, do you take, you know, when you're not blacked out? Because Sports Time Ohio, from what I've heard, is going away at some point.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Reds, Indians, Crew as the three options on Fox Sports Ohio.
And Blue Jackets for the party.
Well,
season.
And Blue Jackets. And I'm just talking about summer. But
yeah, it's gonna,
but you go Cavs and you go Blue Jackets as well. The Crew are always the third option.
I think that's how it is now already, though. Like, we were fourth.
But at this time, you still had Sports Time Ohio breaking away the Indians and the Reds.
As an alternate channel.
And so Sports Time Ohio is going away. Well, you had the Cavaliers on Sports Time Ohio. You had, on Fox Sports Ohio, you had the Blue Jackets. And so you had the same thing where there was the alt channel. So
we don't know the options.
And that's where, at the end of the day, do you become king of a castle that is a very small castle, or do you become, you know, a renter in the, you know, the basement? And it's a great question to ask. Unfortunately, we don't have the answer to
it's
that.
It's one of the things that I think they should have discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And
completely agree.
One of the other things is, you know, we never found out just what the ratings were like.
Yeah.
After last year, I think that's something else that they should have talked about. I mean, mm-hmm. the irony of this to me is that, you know, when he came on the show, you know, we had a discussion about this during the show.
Yeah.
Like, basically, why they wanted to have the interview happen the way that it did. And I think that what they missed an opportunity to have more people involved in that conversation here.
Yeah.
And I honestly think if we would have found out some things, some more things from them, instead of them trying to manage the message, he might still have his job here today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he would have got those things out and said what we all think, like, why weren't there more options?
Yeah.
Explain to us why it was so difficult for you to get this deal done. Why was it? One of the things he said too during the interview with you was he told you, you asked him, did he expect the reaction?
Yeah.
And he said no. And to me, that says so much about where they were coming from. And his reaction since then, which is to defend Time Warner.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to understand, like, your job is not, yes, you are in developing business relationships for the Columbus Crew, but your job is also not to defend your corporate partners if your corporate partners are harming your customers.
Well, but there's a happy medium there, in my opinion, because if you have a corporate partner like Time Warner Cable, for example.
And God help you if you do.
And that's fair. And that's completely fair. I'm believe me, my personal relationship with Time Warner Cable has not been rosy.
I'm the only one that doesn't hate them, aren't I?
I think so, because you work for them.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's okay. Whatever.
In the interest of fairness, Chris LaMacchia works for Time Warner Cable.
No, I don't.
You work for one of their collections agencies, you jerk.
No, I don't.
You used to, at least. Anyway, so, no, but there is an opportunity to explain something without throwing your sponsor under the bus.
Yes.
And that is a huge difference. Because if you have, for example, and it would never come to this, and I have nothing but flowers and puppy dogs for Heartland Bank. Let's say that's a sponsor of the Columbus Crew. I've got nothing but absolute love for Heartland Bank.
I was there today.
Yeah,
those people are amazing.
Yeah, they're a great.
Like I walked in there and they started. They know who. Like I'm a Crew supporter. They brought out some of the sample of debit cards to show me.
Yeah, and
like,
nothing that I'm going to say next should be construed as anything negative towards Heartland Bank. What I'm saying is if the Huntington deal would have ended and the Heartland deal would have immediately started, right? Huntington is a much larger bank than Heartland is, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Some people may have been upset about the fact that they couldn't have their Crew debit cards anymore at a much larger bank.
Yep, sure.
Right? If you explain the reason behind what you're doing,
right,
people don't get upset, right? They may not be happy necessarily about the end result, but they don't get upset. And I think that's the same thing with Fox Sports Ohio and with Time Warner.
So it all comes down to, God, I'm really loud for some reason.
Yeah, you are.
It all comes down to something that the Columbus Crew has admittedly never excelled at, and that is
transparency
with its fans.
And public relations.
Yes.
And that's an MLS problem.
That is
too.
An MLS problem. That is
a huge MLS problem.
And maybe, just maybe, like someone like Anthony Precourt is learning about the league and trying to...
Exactly. Does it help that somebody from outside this MLS bubble
is
coming in going, yeah, this doesn't work out.
Yeah.
In the real world,
millions and millions of dollars are on the line. Let's figure out some way to make this work.
I just paid a whole chunk of money to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at least let's figure out a way to put, God, I hate it, I'm going to say this, put lipstick on this pig.
Yeah.
Because that's really all it would have taken. If they would have... prettied it up a bit, it would have been fine.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I was going to bring on Larry.
Yeah, Larry's got a few.
Larry's got a few cents here.
Okay.
Several cents.
Yeah, I think it comes down to what you guys were saying is communication after the deal was done. But I honestly think that McCullers' job was to increase access to the team as president. He's, you know, president's not a day-to-day grinder. Ultimately, it's his lieutenants and his troops that are supposed to, increase access, and, you know, Precourt mentioned it today, they're focusing on 2015. Mm-hmm. And so you need to have as many people with access to the team as possible to springboard into next year when they're changing the logo and they're probably going to do some stuff to the stadium and all that.
Of course.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But instead, they've limited their access. And the fans are upset because you can't take something from somebody. You can't.
No.
You just can't.
Really
whether or not, you know, Fox dropped out early, so the Crew must have done something, said something, or just weren't happy with it, which was... you know, unfortunate for the Crew, because like you said, it takes away a lot of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're dealing with one entity, and I think Precourt basically was like, you better get that effing TV deal done by this weekend, or it's curtains.
Right.
And he did it without all the information, and the backlash didn't die down. You had woman noises on the broadcast. You had people at the game putting up black sheets, you know, with Time Warner blackout, taking pictures and putting it on Twitter.
Right.
You know, and then when he met with McCullers, I mean, it just sort of snowballed. McCullers couldn't recover from what happened. And he's, you know, like Justin said, he's a businessman. He'll find his level.
Yeah.
Something
McCullers is a bright guy. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to find somewhere else he's going to land at his feet. And I hope he does. I legitimately hope he does.
He will. There's no question.
He's a good person, and I legitimately hope that he finds success in his next venture.
But something else that Justin had said offline, actually a couple weeks ago, but that you're not talking just to your fans when large and important business dealings go down. You're also talking to your current and future potential corporate sponsors, other corporate sponsors.
Yep.
And, you know, how you react in times of crisis, how you react in times of pause, when you can really think about it and really put an important deal together like this cable TV deal, tells your other sponsors, your Barbasols of the world, you know, how you are as an who you are as an organization.
Yep.
And
it's a huge thing.
I've got to wonder what the corporate sponsors think about this decision, and I've got to wonder what Precourt wondered about his corporate sponsors wondering about these decisions.
Yeah.
And the rumor that I heard, it's a rumor, was that a lot of those people didn't have a clue that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So think about those people those advertisers who are like, well, wait a second, now all of a sudden I'm a sponsor of the Crew and I'm not going to be seen on 40 or 50 or however many percent of the homes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, wow, dude, that's harsh.
Well, that's...
one other thing, too, that Larry brought to mind. Those of us who work with the people who work in the front office and with the Crew know that, like, a lot of those people are really good at their jobs.
Yeah, they are.
Like, really, really good. And I don't want to mention any names because I don't think that's fair, but...
Phil,
like,
Goldfarb.
Well, you did. I mean...
I did. Yeah.
These people are...
You're welcome, Phil.
These people are terrific. Just, like... And getting the TIFO ready for the game over the course of this last few weeks, I mean, I can name you 4, 5, 6, 7 people who, just off the top of my head, who work for the Crew, who are great.
Yep.
And, you know, they've been brought in under Martin McCullers' regime. But I've also had the sense that they, like a lot of the employees of MLS could be so much, they can excel at mm-hmm. their jobs, but they are kind of caught in MLS. You know what I mean? Like the MLS structure, the way that yep. things have to be cleared by people beyond them, or MLS corporate, or someone in New York City. Over the years, we've gotten so used to this. And then HSG was, we had to get things cleared by HSG, people in Dallas. And I think there are people who are on the ground in Columbus, Ohio, who have known that there's better ways to do things.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them over in the front office that we can name who are like that. And maybe this is part of the unleashing them to say, go be excellent.
Yeah.
Because, boy, if that's what happens, no one's going to stop Columbus.
You're on a roll today because that's one of the things that Freeport talked about in the call is about flattening out the organization a bit.
Yeah.
It has to happen.
That's a great thing.
Killing as much of that ladder as possible to help streamline decision making and make things a little bit more easier and accessible.
I'll tell you something real quick, and it's a bit out of left field, but it isn't once I actually make the point. Is that we had a presentation at work today, and it was about other customer service organizations, and we were talking about Nordstrom for mm-hmm. a second. Nordstrom has one rule for their employees, and it's within the bounds of the law, do what's right for the customer. Mm. That is literally their only
guideline.
Rule when it comes to dealing with customers. Obviously, they have HR rules and things along those lines, but it seems to, especially with the flattening out and with that sort of stuff, it almost seems, and I don't know because I haven't had the conversation with Precourt, but it seems like we're getting closer to a mentality like that.
Yeah, and well, Chris is, you could talk to that more than anybody probably because of his leadership with the hooligans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's definitely the case, don't you think, that
yeah.
they do flatten things out a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just from an SG standpoint, you know, from the interactions that we have with them, you know, they have made that interaction very flat, whereas instead of having to get this person, you know, go submit an idea to this person, and that person goes to this person, gets approval,
yeah.
and then that person goes up to this person, gets approval. Now it's just submit an idea, yes or no. Okay, no? All right, well, here's... And they come back with, you can't do that, but you can do this.
Yeah.
You know, within the bounds of the law, here's how we're going to, you know, play around
yeah.
with that. Or, yeah, sure, go for it. Here, what do you need? How can we help?
And you've definitely seen a change.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah. I mean, even in the past 6 months since Precourt took over.
I've seen the change literally in just the first with dealing with CSC,
yeah.
with mm-hmm. dealing with
yep.
ushers, with dealing with just in the sense of me going into the game.
Yeah.
I've seen the change hit just with you know, Precourt Sports Ventures. And I think, it's a breath of fresh air as far as that goes. We're going to come back in a little bit. We're going to go around the league with Larry. We're talking about that for a little bit. A lot of other stuff coming up as well. This is the Massive Report. We're back, segment three of the Massive Report. Remember, we're out here every single Monday. $2 pretty much almost everything in the bar. So you should come out and join us. We have a really good crowd. Hey, give it up for yourselves, crowd in the bar.
Yeah,
yeah. Woo! We have a really good crowd tonight.
Where did all these people come from?
I don't know. Nobody knew Frankie was coming either. That was the crazy thing.
I think they all just...
Yeah, no. We didn't know. So did Frankie call you guys?
No.
Is that what happened? No? All right. Well, I was just curious.
He does what he wants.
Yeah, no, Larry Johnson on the show, and I kind of want to... What's up, Eddie? How you doing?
How's it going?
I want to... We're going to talk about the league here for a bit and see what happened. Obviously, the Crew won, which is a huge coup for us, 2-0. But I want you and Nate's going to kind of feed off this a little bit, and maybe Justin as well. What happened in the league this week?
Well, we'll start with the Crew in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I think they were two of the better-looking teams over the weekend. So that's a really feather in both those teams' caps because Major League Soccer teams at the beginning of the year, traditionally the games are very, very start-stop. They're choppy. They're muddy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of fouls. And this year's particularly with the replacement refs early on. But those two teams, they stood above, you know, most of the others. You know, you had Kansas City that pulled out a win. They dominated San Jose, but San Jose does what San Jose does and kept it close. Dallas is looking good, but they played Chivas.
I want to talk about that for just a second. Is Chivas still going to be, you know, the tire fire that they've been for the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of change with any teams from last year. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to somebody before we jumped on. When you have more teams like this, it's harder to improve year to year. It's not as random, you know. When your league is a four teams smaller than it is, there's some randomness.
Yeah.
But you're going to start seeing teams. I think this happens in the NBA and NHL hockey. It's really hard just to turn around a season.
Yeah.
It's difficult. And Major League Soccer, the more they add teams, the more things are going to be string together. Like, okay, you were bad last year. You might win a couple more games this year. You might regress a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be like Chivas is going to win 10 games. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not even 10.
No.
Well, that would be a miracle. But, yeah, it's, I mean, Toronto DC, the game looked good. Nate, I think you said you fell asleep.
Justin fell asleep. Yeah, Justin fell asleep.
I was really tired and very not interested in either of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I have an opportunity, potentially, to attend DC at Toronto over the summer in Toronto. Now,
are you being punished for something?
As a Crew fan, I've got basically the two teams that I despise the most there.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm interested in bringing this up as a conversation piece with my dear wife to say, hey, dear wife, let's go check out this new this MLS stadium. It's not new, but I whatever. Toronto, it's new to me.
It's newer than us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm always interested in checking out MLS stadiums, seeing the vibe, eating the food, checking out the beer.
Yeah.
Drinking the beer.
Poutine and Labatt.
Drinking more beer.
Yeah.
So is that something even appetizing? If you guys were in Toronto and DC was playing, would you go to that game?
I'd go.
You'd go?
Yeah. I would check it out.
Sam says no. Yes.
Yeah, I would.
I'd go.
I mean, one of the things, too, about that game, the DC-Toronto game, was that when they opened up they're introducing the game, and the guys, I think it was Roots. I don't know. I can't remember which channel. TSN. The Roots were there?
Yeah.
No,
the Roots were totally
everywhere.
There. Yeah.
Root Sports is a Seattle game. That's why I was... But TSN, they were really bragging up the change of atmosphere at BMO Park, BMO Field, and playing that up. And then...
You mean Bank of Montreal Park,
Bank
right?
of Montreal.
Okay, yeah.
Olympique or whatever it is. But, like, they're really playing that up, obviously. There's new energy, new vibe in Toronto. And then they went out and played kind of the same old style, except they have a few better players.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the major, I mean, Jermaine Defoe.
He scores again.
He scores.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss. And that's the major difference, I think, between last year and this year, is that if you give him a chance, he's gonna put it away.
Yeah. So is Bradley feeding him, or is he drawing attention, tiring a defense to the point where someone else can just, anyone can, you know, I could have assisted Jermaine Defoe.
From what I've seen, it seems to me like the other teams are very conscious of Bradley on the field.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's not really, I don't know.
Are they keying
really
in on
impressed.
Bradley like everybody keyed in on Higuain last year?
Well, I don't know. That's hard to say. I don't think so. I think
he plays too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're different.
They're different players.
But
I'm just saying.
But they're very conscious of them.
It's a question to ask.
Yeah.
But like,
for instance, Defoe's goal against DC was a loose ball in the box.
He
jumped on it and put it away because that's what he's going to do. He's quality like that.
Toronto
didn't have a player like that last year or maybe ever.
Most teams don't have a player like that.
Yeah. And so he is good.
Well, he had one like that in Seattle.
Yeah, he did.
There was a mistake in the back. I think Chad Marshall was involved. You know, it was something that was loose right outside the 18, and Defoe picked up on it and finished it. I mean, it just went across the keeper like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what he brings. It's like Thierry Henry and Marco de Valle kind of thing. You know, those guys are just, when they get the space in the box, they're just going to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that is rare. And those kind of players it's like de Valle last year. They can carry your team a long way. But eventually, if you're depending on Defoe to do everything for you, Bradley's not going to score a lot of goals.
And one of the things that Frankie brought up, too, was about how this coaching staff prepares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not drawing a comparison to, you know, with the way things were before this. But it seems like they're involving the players in their preparations. And I just think Greg Berhalter is really impressed with his intelligence.
Yeah.
And I think if that's filtering down to the players, then they're going to be able to do some things on the fly, on the field.
It seems like it is.
The way they talk, the way the players talk, it seems to filter down to them. A lot of teams are focusing on just getting in shape still. And, you know, Berhalter's ahead of the game. I mean, he's obviously looked at his two opponents, you know. Yeah. And he's, you know, the second half of that game was a little bit messy.
I don't get the sense, you know, watching D.C. against Toronto last Saturday, I didn't get the sense that they're capable of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't seem like they're going to adapt as the game goes.
Yeah, like I said, you know, they might have a good start. I think
it's going to be a situation where you have, you mean Seattle against Toronto last week?
Oh, no, I meant this past week.
Yeah, DC versus. Yeah, I misspoke then.
And I think that's why Toronto kind of, they ended up winning that game. It was because they, like,
DC. But do you think Ben Olsen's going to be able to do that with DC?
No.
Yeah. And do you think that it's, my opinion is, that's a nostalgia.
Absolutely.
That's more than anything else. They're just trying to give him his run out, and then they're going to find somebody better.
Yeah. He'll probably win the U.S. Open Cup again.
Probably, but, you know, whatever.
But they're in the Champions League this year, too.
God.
What if they go on a huge run in the Champions League?
It's going to be a damn dumpster fire is what that's going to be.
If they struggle over the next few games, that might become their only priority, just like last year.
Joe Public. You got to beat Joe Public. What do you think about New England, Vancouver, and 0-0 draw?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a huge game there.
Yeah.
Huge game.
Yeah, another great example of two teams that just aren't ready for the season. Yeah. New England hasn't scored yet. You know, it's funny. Every year, it seems like with Vancouver, they win an early game, and everybody's like, this is it. You know, this team is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same thing with this year. And then they go out and they play a bad New England team, and they can't get anything going.
Yeah. Trying to look for highlights in this game is like, I it's really difficult. Yeah. Like, yeah. You're watching the highlights and you're like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I tried to watch that game too, and I ended up like kind of fast forwarding like through huge chunks of the match.
Yeah.
I was expecting a lot more from New England. I really, really was. They looked very bad the first two games.
The first three, right?
First three.
All right.
I forgot. I wanted to see if you guys had seen. Did you guys see Mauro Diaz's pass? His kind of, he actually took the ball from the defensive half of his side in the Dallas game towards the end of the game, the 78th minute or whatever, and he made this ridiculous pass, 50-60 yard pass to a blade of grass that ended up, you know, with a Dallas goal, which really the 2-0 goal
right.
Put this game away.
Let's look at it.
I know my Delio's choking here. So
do you think Dallas is? I mean, last year they had a really hot start for half the year and then it just collapsed. But they, you know, the coach. I mean, everything. Yeah. It's different this year.
Yeah, I think they could be. We have to see in the next couple of games, and we have them on the schedule. Do they come here, or do we go there?
I think they come here because we were there.
Did we go there last year.
Last year,
and then there you go. He's a good player. I mean, to say it simply, he's kind of that. I think what they've been missing
Yeah. You know? Well, let's look at this real quick.
And with,
oh,
with
it's that, not working.
No,
oh.
It's...
Okay, well, I would assume it was a great play.
Yeah. Well, with
Freya, it was a good play.
It was a good play. Sam verified it, therefore, good for you, Dallas.
But with Perea as their coach, too, I think that's sort of that magic that happened last year in Colorado, where they shocked people, yeah. where they surprised people. I think that's kind of transferred over to Dallas. And yeah.
Perea, the Colombian.
Yes, I need to mention that.
It's not in
now
Colorado.
Your wife will be nice to you tonight.
There was the pass.
Not in Colorado. Where Colorado, there was two penalty kicks. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they used the orange ball.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a real soccer game. Not making excuses for Caleb Porter, however.
It's well played.
It was on
It was
on grass.
Well played.
Yeah. However, it was on the typical of this is kind of what happens at the beginning of the year in Denver is that you have mile high grass. It's very sparse.
All right,
dusty.
So we gotta wrap this segment up because Sam's telling me we have to. So we're gonna talk about one more match here real quick. Salt Lake, LA, 1-1 tie.
I'm gonna have to pass on that because I was a victim of the MLS Live non-blackout for that.
Oh, yeah, so well, nothing's a blackout.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to see that yet because it's a.
What do you think?
Did you
get to watch it, Larry?
Yeah.
All right. What did you think?
Again, LA pressing. You know, Real Salt Lake looks a little more comfortable.
All right.
I mean, it's disappointing with LA because they I think they felt robbed earlier in the year against Real Salt Lake with the late penalty with Robbie Keane and stuff like that. They felt like they were the equals, but you know, ended a draw. I guess that's fair. Real Salt Lake's going to be good again. They have a great team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they do well.
All right. Yeah.
Jason Christ is still better than
Jason Christ. Jason Christ.
Jason Christ is doing a great job.
since I didn't get to comment on that or didn't have an opinion on that because I didn't see it, I'd like to say that Chris Edwards sent us that link to that goal.
Oh, it was amazing.
In the central is an A-League goal. Orlando Engelar. Go look it up online if you haven't seen this goal. It's it's the Hyundai
A-League. Yeah.
Yeah, go check it out.
It was an amazing goal. An amazing goal. All right, we're going to come back in just a second. We're going to talk about Seattle. And honestly, this entire bump is all about Seattle. We'll be back in just a couple seconds here. This is the Massive Report.
I know you too well to like you anymore. I know you too well to like you anymore. There's a night there where my dream girl was. Yes, I'm relieving. Now that you're leaving, soon as you can pay. Yes, I'm relaxing. Hear that you're resting. Yes, I'm soothing. Know that you soothe me. Sign a sound I say. I'm just a comfort.
And we're back, segment 4. Hey, guess what we're talking about this segment, guys?
Hashtag
aces.
And not his aces, my aces.
Yeah, yours. Yeah, I want to talk about that real quick.
The hashtag or tell me?
Both.
Okay, so
tell
I don't
me
know.
Aces.
Justin's gonna give the Nirvana.
The Nirvana. No, that was the band we just played.
Right. Yeah, they're still in my head.
It is kind of
Justin's gonna give the origin of Tony Aces, and I just want to explain to the masses when you see me or me as the Hudson Street Hooligans tweet hashtag aces in all caps, that has got nothing to do with Tony. That's got everything to do with aces means any club except Seattle.
All right.
So there's your learning for the day.
Learning for today.
So,
Justin.
Hashtag aces.
Tony aces.
And that kind of comes back to the origin of Tony
exactly.
aces.
Exactly.
Because back when Dempsey was signed by Seattle and everyone was going crazy about deuce this, deuce
Herb
that.
Herb derb deuce.
Yeah. I had a tweet. Who needs deuces when you got aces? Tony aces.
Yeah. Nice.
Anthony aces pre-court. Using the anything but, you know, any club except Seattle sort of thing as sort of his nickname. So in a way, I guess you could say that Seattle invented Tony Aces.
No, Seattle did absolutely zero things to invent Tony Aces, except for maybe show him all the things not to be.
Yeah.
But they had some. Didn't they have some card-inspired Tifo with Ziggy?
Yeah, they
Ziggy?
So many things.
Yeah, the cards and the things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But see, like, I think that name's great. Like, who would not want to be nicknamed Tony Aces?
Well, yeah. I mean, since my name is Chris, I would rather Chris Aces, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you called him Tony Aces in the supporters summit, he was like, oh, boy. You can see it on his face.
This is a thing.
Yeah. It's happening.
It was pretty funny. But then his eyes lit up, and he kind of warmed to it, and I'm pretty sure he's okay with it now.
All right. So, Justin, I want to get your comments. So, we obviously had an amazing Tifo display.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Everyone did a fantastic job.
You kicked ass. Everyone else involved kicked ass.
Yeah.
But I want to get your comments just vis-a-vis Seattle, because apparently one of the two of you has a rant about Seattle.
Oh, that's this guy.
I don't know if it's a rant. It's a statement of fact.
All right, do it.
Like, people have talked about how much the original rival is D.C. I agree with that. How much we hate Chicago. We do.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto is an annoyance and just perpetually awful.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and say it. My hatred of the Seattle Sounders far outstrips any of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with their horrible team, and they're just incredibly annoying fans.
Yeah.
They're cloying, arrogant, egomaniacal fan base. I mean, so I saw, while we were doing putting together our Tifo preparations last week in the stadium, one of the employees of the crew came up to me and showed me a picture on this their cell phone. And it was a particular member of the of ECS brandishing his business card.
Oh, God.
And it was director of marketing.
Please no.
Director of marketing. They have business cards. These people have business cards.
What font?
So and this particular person
has
it. No, they look very professional.
Did he have a resident
or chef? Does that make him all like Norman Bateman?
Yeah.
No, that's really funny.
It was very American Psycho.
That's Patrick hilarious Bateman. Because Patrick every Bateman. Couple weeks, yeah. Katie Mitchell and I, who, you know, Katie does all the HSH work and I just, you know, run the HSH Facebook group.
Yeah.
We every now and then joke about how we should get business cards. And then we never do because we're too busy running a supporters group to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But the person whose business card, who is, you know, showing his business card off, happened to be the guy who, when the whole thing happened with Seattle.
Yeah.
With us last year. He happened to be the guy who kept me up until about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning arguing with him about what we were saying was true, because we knew it was true because we were actually involved in the
conversation.
Yeah. And he was telling me that, no, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And that he knew what was said in that conference call.
Yeah.
And then these multiple people kind of stepped in and were saying, oh, yes, they knew what was wrong. You know, I said, you know, there are more people involved in Seattle, from Seattle in that conference call than there were from Columbus, it seems like, because now it's like multiplying.
Yeah.
And it's just that sense. I mean, they went and had this long blog posts on the ECS boards about like how we were a bunch of lying scumbags who, you know, we were the ones who were telling the truth.
Here's the deal. I welcome the libel suit.
Yeah.
As soon as that happens, I'd be more than happy to have a conversation with somebody in a court of law about when I lied. But the problem is that has never been filed.
No,
and the reason
true.
That's never been filed is because everything that I said in the article on Massive Report and everything that's been said on this podcast has been completely 100% true.
And we haven't even told half of what.
Oh, God. No, I know. I know.
That conference call. But, like, you know, that just stems. That kind of encapsulates my hatred for them and why I think they are, if not our rival, like the most hated team for us. And they should be. Because last year we stood up for basically every small market. Every market in this league that
you're welcome Salt Lake, you're welcome Colorado.
Kansas City.
You're welcome Kansas City.
Chicago even.
Yeah.
Because they threw Chicago under the bus.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine what would have happened to the Kansas City USA game had we not stood up to the Seattle kids?
Absolutely. They wanted to change. I will quote verbatim from the last line that I heard in that conference call when one of the Seattle people said was, wouldn't it be great if every place was like Seattle?
Yeah.
That was exactly what they said verbatim.
Yep.
And I looked at, as I was walking out of the conference call, I just rolled my eyes.
That's the whole reason I wrote the article.
I said, don't say anything that I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And I left. I could not believe that they had the audacity to say that. I mean, we stood up for the rest of the people, and you need to thank us, New York City. You need to thank us, Boston. Step up and let us know.
We're going to Kansas City.
We led you to the promised land.
We're going to Phoenix.
We're going to Baltimore.
We're going to Houston.
We're going to Miami.
Woo!
Yeah!
Ah! Hallelujah!
Isn't that Cascadia the Beautiful that you're playing?
Yeah, it's Cascadia the Beautiful. Yeah. Cascadia, where did you source that meat?
I feel almost feel bad for throwing the Portland people into that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get along with them.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're not bad.
Yeah, Vancouver.
But my God,
why don't they
Seattle.
Do anything about Seattle?
Vancouver's like the third Daryl that nobody saw in Newhart.
Daryl, my other brother Daryl.
Yeah. All right, Sam. So we apparently have some questions on the hashtags.
Hashtags.
We do. We actually have some really good questions tonight.
Oh crap!
From Morgan Hughes.
From Morgan Hughes.
Crucible says, what lineup positions are not locked for anyone at this point?
What lineup positions are not locked for anyone at this point?
I'll throw out left back from what I saw in the first half of Saturday's game. Waylon, don't call me Jennings Francis, definitely got up plenty of times. But as I think I've said before, I mean, having your backs run all the way up to the front of the attack is great as long as you can get back, as long as you're so organized that you can, through multiple sometimes player shifts, get covered. And I saw 2 to 3 occasions where that just did not happen.
Next one.
Who from outside sports would you bring in as crew presidents?
Outside sports.
From outside
Justin, sports. Justin, that one's yours.
Wow, it has to be from outside sports. Okay, well, I think it would have to be someone who knows Columbus.
Hold on, because there's another question that kind of relates with that.
Okay.
It says, if you could advise Precourt on hiring a new prez, what qualities would you tell him to look for?
Okay. All right. I think that's
a question.
Yeah, do that one first.
You know, I would like to have someone who has sort of a mentality that meshes with Greg Berhalter.
Yeah.
And obviously Precourt. I mean, in the supporter summit, it was clear to me, like, those two guys are in a kind of, they have a sort of synchronicity about them. There's something similar. So you'd want to look for someone like that, maybe a younger attitude, if not like an age. Someone who's familiar with Columbus, obviously, would be very beneficial. But I saw something that someone posted that it's probably going to be somebody who has a tie to U.S. soccer. Now, that's not someone who's outside sports. So if I was going to say someone who's outside sports, I'd say Jungle Jack Hanna.
Oh, you're just pandering for those.
They would be running wild on that pitch.
Oh!
Hey, I made it funny.
Oh, God.
Eric Bobbitt asks, did Arrieta do enough to retain his starting spot at the Seattle game, or will Odubra replace him?
Nate is feeding me an answer here. And sorry, Nate, I'm not pulling the audience on this one. I think I really, really liked the Arrieta for Oduro switch. I liked the fact that... See, how do I phrase this correctly? Arrieta was the right guy to do the... Yes, if you do forward by committee, Arrieta is... He's going to beat up the defense in the first half, and wear them down. And then you bring Oduro in for the second half or last 30 minutes, whatever, and let him outrun everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect matchup. There may be some games where you switch it based on the opposing defense and let Oduro, tire people out with his legs and then bring Arrieta in to rough them up later. But I think that those two complement each other very well as far as a forward by committee goes.
No, I think it was a very smart move to bring Oduro in when he was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, one more? Two more? Seven more?
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on, Sam.
Tony wants us to play more gore.
That's not happening,
Yeah,
Tony.
No.
More guar?
Yeah. Nope. Sorry about the guar, dude.
We're good.
Let's
talk about Seattle.
All right, Seattle. Boo. We play
wait,
Seattle.
Wait, can I give an answer to one of the earlier questions?
No.
The question about a person from outside sports.
Yeah.
I don't have a name, but this is the person that I would look for.
Vince McMahon.
I would look for. Did you hear the part where I said I don't have a name?
Shane McMahon.
I would look for a person.
Linda McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
Who has experience. Taking something from nothing and making it into a household name. I would get somebody from like the from a .com type sector. I would bring in somebody. Well, no, from a pure business.
Mark Cuban.
Yes.
No, we already have Mark Cuban. His name is Andy Dupree.
Right.
Without the asshole.
But someone who is good at building things from nothing, and a lot of that has happened over the past few years in Silicon Valley, whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, but. Someone who's going to build a brand from nothing, because as much work as we have done over the past 19 years, there's still much work to be done. And so you need somebody who's going to come in and get their hands dirty and form the relationships that you need to be formed with the local business community, because right now there are very few, if any, serious ones.
Yeah. One thing I heard him say in the presser today was presser. Did I just say that?
You did.
You
damn
did.
It.
Yeah,
it's because I read too much of this ridiculous English tinged mess. All right. So in the press conference was that he said the phrase he or she. And I thought that was really interesting.
Ooh, yes.
So are there any female candidates that would come to mind?
And we don't. Yeah.
We can't think of male candidates. We can't think of anybody.
Yes. Right.
But
Mia Hamm would be great.
I like that he's not
Julia Foddy.
Julie Foudy.
Can you imagine being
from outside sports?
That would be phenomenal.
This goes along with what John Clem said on Twitter is, you know, when is Alexi Lawless going to become the new president? And that I understand that you want a big name, but when it comes to this position, I don't want a big name. I want somebody with big cojones who's going to sign the deals that need to be signed. Yeah. The thing that glares at me the most, and probably at Precourt too, is we have limited brands here at Columbus, and limited brands has absolutely zero things to do with Columbus Crew.
Yeah.
There's a giant bucket of money out there in Wexley, and none of it is coming our way.
Wexley?
Yeah, Les Wexner lives in Bexley. It's called Wexley.
Weird.
He lives in New Albany.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Whatever.
Patrick's here, I like that you call New Albany Wexley. That sounds that's fantastic.
That's even pretty hilarious. So Patrick's
here. He spends a lot of time there.
Yeah.
We have to clarify.
It's Patrick Murphy.
Now. Patrick Murphy.
Yeah, it's the one wearing the Man U shirt. So I'm going to go to sleep.
Patrick Murphy. Murphy's here. So I want to talk to you just for a half a second about Seattle, and then we're going to go around to the panel about Seattle because we're about ready to wrap the show up. So thanks for showing up.
You're welcome.
When you did, jerk.
You're welcome. That's
what do you think is going to happen in this Crew Seattle game? And then we're going to go in the exact direction that you all think I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So get your thoughts ready, you drunks. Go ahead.
I think it'll be interesting. I didn't watch Seattle's game from last week, this past weekend. I saw their first two, and it didn't look overly impressive, I didn't think. And I know Berhalter said post-game, someone asked him about Seattle and if he's going to change his tactics, and he said no, and that he believes this is going to be, you know, their next step in the way of challenges. You know, D.C. was the first challenge of the year. Philly gave them pressure and, you know, really, really made them work. And now they've got to go on the road to a tough environment and play a team that can probably play as Portland or as Philly did, if not more so.
On asphalt.
Yes, that's one big thing. So it'll be interesting to see how they do out there. You know, I think each week's going to be a whole different test because this team, you know, the one thing he said is we want to play this way, and, you know, there's going to be times when that may hurt us a little bit. So I think it'll be the next step in the progression of this group.
Cool. Nate, thoughts?
Thoughts or prediction?
Thoughts first, then prediction. Jerk.
Word. I think we'll end up as a 1-1 tie.
My thoughts are
so less interesting, believe me.
My name is Nate, and I don't got nothing.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I think that the defensive issues that came up in the first half this last weekend will maybe be exposed again, and I think Obafemi Martins is somebody who capitalizes on those types of things.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's so porous and such an issue that, you know, we get three goals scored on us or anything like that. So that's where I think ends up being 1-1.
Jables.
I think that this is a better team without Clint Dempsey.
Yeah.
I don't...
I think it is too.
Yeah.
No, quite honestly.
It's kind of counterintuitive, but when you watch them play, I get a feeling that they almost feel like more of a team without him on there.
You know, they feel like they have to feed him.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Obafemi Martins is playing better than he was last year. You know, Jimmy Traore had a really good attempt at bicycle kick, which was kind of impressive from a back. So I mean, they have weapons up and down their lineup. So they're gonna attack. And the other thing about playing in Seattle is I think that turf is the biggest home advantage in soccer.
Yep.
And people like to say that it's about the fan base and like the enormous crowd that they have there being the home advantage. I don't really think that matters either way. I think that it's the field turf. The field turf is just, it's a different game. It's not soccer. I don't know what it is, but it's not soccer. And you can see that Seattle takes advantage of that. And I think it's, if you want to say that there's such a thing as an unfair advantage, then that's it. So I think that's good for a goal. I think we get two and we win.
Right. Chris, thoughts?
I'm going to say 3-2 in a real barn burner. This game is going to go end to end, box to box, if you will. And we're going to come out on top because we have more heart, but I think it's going to be a real gut check for everyone involved, and a lesson learned for Seattle, because they've got big names, we've got good players, and it's going to be a battle of wills. But I, you know, obviously I think that we're going to come out on top because, yeah, they've got Obafemi Martins, but we've got Ior Arrieta, we've got Dominic Aduro, we've got Pippa, we've got Michael Parkhurst, we've got Steve Clark. We've got.
Did we talk about Pipo in the first segment?
We did not.
He was so impressive to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Gonzalez was. Yeah. Like, honestly, just cleaning house.
With a name like Giancarlo, though,
it has to be good.
It has to be good.
Yeah.
Gonzalez, that's fair. Jimenez.
I can sell and run with that line.
Yeah.
No,
Giancarlo Rum.
I think this is going to be. It's going to be a tough game, but I just see us outworking them. And as cliche as the sound, I think it's going to happen.
All right. So let's go score predictions. We'll go around the table. Patrick.
I don't predict scores.
Do it now, or I will fight you.
I will give you this. I think that Chad Marshall will score.
Wow.
Okay.
Fired.
An own goal, I assume.
Yeah. that's
obviously what I meant.
With a smirk.
This is what we do on the damn podcast, son.
With a smirk on his
face.
All
right, so Greg, you're going to come in, and you're going to be the pinch... predictor.
Pinch predictor.
Yes. All right. Go.
I'm going to go with 2-2.
All right. Fair enough. Nate.
1-1.
1-1.
2-1. We win.
3-2 us.
I'm going to say that we win 3-0.
All
because
right.
Because you know what?
Woo!
Somebody's got to have the balls to say it. That's all I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 101 of the Massive Report.
I'd say 2-1 crew.
Oh, Ryan Gear says 2-1 crew, so that's
Jeff.
A thing that happens as well.
Jeff,
what do you got?
Other than a cold.
Yeah. Uh-oh. What do you say, Jeff?
3-2 Seattle.
Oh, you suck.
But we agree that it's going to be a hard
game.
Sorry, but
Adam, what do you say, Adam? Adam, what do you say?
I'm not 2-1 crew.
2-1 crew. Sam, what do you say?
I'm going to say that Greg fixes the defensive lapses from last week. And we exploit Chad Marshall.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that's why I said 3-0.
2-1 win. I'll go with Justin Scott.
That's why I said 3-0.
The mode is 2-1.
Yeah, well.
You did that in your head? I hate that.
The mode's the easy one.
The mode's the easy one. It's the most
common.
Yes.
Yeah, still, he did that in his head.
Hold your tongue and say mode, and then it's most.
Called listening.
All right. This has been the Massive Report, episode 101. It's a thing that happened right here at Hendox. Make sure you join us next week. We're going to be here as well. You should probably stop snapping, Chris, because I have no idea what the hell's going on at this point. It's my birthday, and I'm going to go get drunk now.
Happy birthday,
Matt.
Happy
birthday, Matt. Thanks.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Feliz Navidad.
You need to believe in yourself and what you do. Be tenacious and genuine. This has been the Massive Report.